Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast, where we bring together the best medical minds, thought leaders, scientists, patients, and caregivers to inform and inspire the spondylitis community. I'm your host, Jill Miller, living my best spa life, knowing that how we meet today has the power to change everything going forward. Please note that the information provided in this podcast should not be considered medical advice. We do encourage all listeners to consult their healthcare professionals for medical concerns. Thank you for listening, and we hope you find our discussion today enlightening. Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast. Today, we're going to talk about cancer, immunotherapy, and spondyloarthritis, balancing cancer care with joint health. In this episode of SpondyCast, we sit down with Dr. Sang Tae Kim, who is an MD and PhD of Yale Medicine, to explore the complex overlap between cancer, immunotherapy, and spondyloarthritis. Dr. Kim shares how cancer treatments can sometimes trigger arthritis or spa-like symptoms, what patients and care teams should look out for, and how rheumatologists and oncologists can work together to protect both joint health and cancer outcomes. He also discusses emerging therapies, biomarkers, and research that may shape the future of care for people living with both conditions. He is an early stage physician scientist whose work focuses on how immune support checkpoint receptors shape T cell function in health and autoimmunity. During his rheumatology fellowship at Yale University, Dr. Kim earned a PhD in immunobiology, identifying a novel CD4 plus T cell subset in human tonsils that supports memory B cell immunoglobulin production, a discovery highlighted in the Journal of Immunology. He went on to join the faculty at the University of Texas at Anderson Cancer Center, where his research centered on the molecular and cellular mechanisms driving immunotoxicities caused by immune-based cancer therapies, including immune checkpoint inhibitors, CAR T cell therapy, cancer vaccines, and T cell transfer. In 2023, Dr. Kim returned to Yale as a director of rheumatology's immunotoxicity clinic, continuing his investigation into autoimmune conditions triggered by cancer immunotherapies. His work aims to define the mechanisms of immunotoxicity to improve treatment strategies, preserve anti-tumor immunity, and identify biomarkers that predict adverse immune responses. Insights from this research also have the potential to advance the understanding of spontaneous autoimmune diseases. Dr. Kim, sorry, it's late in the day. Welcome to SpondyCast. How are you?
Great. Yeah, thank you very much for kind introduction. And it is my great honor to be invited.
Yeah, thank you. So I mentioned before we started that this is a complex, right, as you know, complex topic. So can you tell us a little bit about how you came to this work and simplify it down for us before we get too deep into it?
Sure. So I'm a physician scientist, and my expertise in the rheumatology and the immunology. So in the medical school, I was very intrigued by the immunology, and I thought that medicine most relevant to the immunology is the rheumatology and cancer. So when I doing some medical training, so initially I was very interested in the cancer, but it was a little bit emotionally tough to managing the cancer patient. Mm-hmm. Those end of life issues and family meetings, that was a bit overwhelming to me. So I ended up to the subspecialized rheumatology. And when I was the fellow, that was the time when the cancer immunotherapy shows that very promising the result. And I noticed that those adverse events are more related to the autoimmune complications. Then I decided to pursue my career in this field.
So that's awesome. And for people new to this subject, how does cancer immunotherapy affect the immune system in ways that create these triggers?
Yes. So the That's a good question. Basically the basic principle of the cancer immunotherapy is that we stimulate our immune system, boost our immune system to fight for the cancers. We don't know exactly why and how, but some people get boosted, their immune system boosted too much, and then those boosted immune system attack ourselves. Again, we don't know the detailed mechanisms. That is the area of active research. What we know that is CD8 positive T cells might play a role in, but still we don't know yet. So about 80% of the patients receiving cancer immunotherapy develop new autoimmune or flare up of their pre-existing autoimmune diseases.
Oh, 80%.
80, 90%.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot, yeah.
Wow. And so in particular for our population, when someone with axial spondyloarthritis is about to start immunotherapy, how do you think about that in balancing their spa treatment with their cancer treatment?
Yes, there is really kind of some challenging cases. Usually I measure those spondyloarthritis disease activity, and if the disease activity is low, then I try hold our treatment, because theoretically all our treatment for the spondyloarthritis is suppress our immunity, so which abrogate anti-tumor immunity, especially for the first cycles.
So the treatments are suppressing the immune system spa treatments are suppressing the immune system while the cancer treatment is elevating the immune system, and that's you're
balancing it. Yeah.
You're kind of playing tug of war.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, wow. That's got to be a handle. So you said you generally pause the immunosuppressive therapies.
Right. Especially for the first 3 to 4 cycles of the cancer immunotherapy.
To see what's going on.
Yeah. Yes. Because that is most important time when boost our anti-tumor immunity.
Oh, that's the most important time.
More time for the first 3 cycles, yeah.
Okay. Yes. And so if someone with spondyloarthritis develops a new or worsening joint or spine pain during therapy, what would they watch for early on? Is it patient reported or?
Yes, patient reported, and also especially the patients complained of the stiffness.
Oh, interesting.
Especially in the stiffness in the morning, but they say that all throughout the day.
So more increased stiffness.
More stiffness, right, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I wonder, okay, well, I'm not the doctor here. I'm just playing one on TV. That's so interesting.
Right. Also patients also saying that cyclic dependent, so their symptoms got worsened during the first few days of each immunotherapy cycles.
So it flares. It flares them down, right. Okay. Yes. And then is that how you would distinguish a traditional disease flare from treatment flare?
It is a bit hard. In general, though, studies shows that the autoimmune disease flared up during the first 3 cycles of the immunotherapy. So if the patient develops spondyloarthritis symptoms within 3 cycles of the cancer immunotherapy, I think that this is pre-existing, coexisting spondyloarthritis flare.
Okay.
If the patient develop joint pain or spondyloarthritis symptoms after 3 cycles of the immunotherapy, I think that this may be more related to the immunotherapy induced, the arthritis.
So there can be So there's crossover for sure, though.
That's right.
Yeah, that's got to be tough. And it sounds a little bit, and here I go off into the maybe the weeds a little bit, but is it similar to when you start a new biologic and sometimes your symptoms go a little crazy? At
Right.
least that was my experience, and I know
That's
other
correct.
people's, that sometimes because we're playing with the immune system, that it has a reaction in the short term.
Exactly. Yeah. That's correct. That's
Okay.
correct. Also, in this regard, so everything is balancing. So in general, patient who has this adverse event after immunotherapy, their cancer response is better. So it makes sense. We boost immune system. Some people get boosted too much, so it
Right.
means that those the cancer response is better. There's some trade-off.
The trade-off. So the worse
Trade-off,
it
right?
is in the beginning, the better the response
Right.
is on the
That's
back
right.
side. This is
Yes.
what they mean when they say, I remember during COVID when we would get the vaccines and they would
Exactly same.
say, you get a fever because it's your immune system
Right.
working.
Working, right.
Right. Okay. Or when my kids were little, they would go to the pediatrician with the fevers and he'd say,
Yes.
be glad you have a kid with a fever, because a
Right.
kid without a fever that's sick is problematic.
That's right.
So what do you do when symptoms appear during immunotherapy? And how do you decide from a safety perspective how to
That's
approach
true.
the flare?
That's also some tough question. So in general, the frontline treatment is the steroid. So I start with the prednisone, usually 20 milligram, and then taper over 4 to 6 weeks. And then around 30 to 40%, then patients, then that was it. But patient can develop again of those joint symptoms. Then I use the prednisone one more time, tapering. If the patient develop arthritis again, then I should think of the steroid sparing agent, because the prednisone has a lot of side effects, as well as what study shows that prednisone abrogate anti-tumor immunity.
Yeah.
So yeah, so you don't
Okay.
want to use prednisone that long.
And in general, in general, in rheumatology, we try not to use
Not to
prednisone
use it.
that long, right?
That's
Not,
true.
yeah. So, okay. And so you're actively treating patients. What do you find good collaboration between oncology and rheumatology looks like in this time?
Oh yes, yeah. So the really key point is that communications, very close communications, either by call or by EMR text, that is really important. And also, so any change of the treatment, either rheumatologic side or oncologic side, that should be shared timely. Especially for us, we should remember, rheumatologists should remember that many of the patients in the immunotherapy, they are on the clinical trials. So there's maybe some limitations what we can use based on their clinical trial protocols. So it is very important to communicate closely with the
Oh,
oncologist.
clinical trials. I hadn't thought about that whole.
All right.
Clinical trials are a whole nother
Well, another area, right?
realm because you don't know
Was
what
right.
the
That's
cautions
true.
are yet. Okay.
That's true. Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Thank God for people like you
Oh, thank you so
that
much.
help us with this. I can't imagine how scary and difficult it can be to go through this
Yes, yeah,
for
it is.
patients. And the answers sometimes are so hard to find. I mean, they're hard enough to find when you've been living in the rheumatology world and with
Right.
AxSpA and finding out what's going on and understanding that, but then to
A
add
different
with the
theory.
complexity. I mean, we talk about comorbidities a lot on this podcast, but not as much the idea of these you hope that it's a temporary situation, but it's a like a nuclear bomb to your system, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I haven't really thought about this topic. I hope I don't ever have to come and see you, but so can you now share just a little bit, maybe describe the role of the pathways of interleukin 17 and 23 in patients who have AxSpA but also undergoing treatment?
Yes.
Maybe talk a little bit about, can you describe a little bit about what interleukin 17 and 23 are? Because I think Yes. Some of our listeners might not know.
Sure. So our immune system cope with the antigens, and and T cells play a role in this, the immunity, and the IL-17, we call the Th17 cells, they produce IL-17 and which recruit the neutrophils that play a critical role in the many autoimmune diseases, including spondyloarthritis. So the blocking IL-17 is widely used for the treatment of the spondyloarthritis. For the Th17 cells, for their function and survival, IL-23 play a critical role in that. So the like IL-17, so the IL-23 blockade also being widely used in the spondyloarthritis. So the I have some hope that probably those IL-17 and 23 pathway is pretty specific for the spondyloarthritis. And the anti-tumor immunity, IL-17 and 23 might not be that major role. So by targeting IL-17 and 23 in this patient with cancer and spondyloarthritis, getting the, checkpoint blockade, probably targeting IL-17 and IL-23 would be safe. So that's what I'm hoping. Yeah.
So it's safest to, you think, like, yes, the hypothesis is, mm-hmm, that targeting, because some of the drugs and biologics target, right, IL-21, yes, or they're anti-TNF, yeah, right? Yes. So targeting the blockage of 17 and 23, you think is the safer,
yeah, right,
safer, most effective route.
That's right. Would pinpoint autoimmune, but not abrogate anti-tumor immunity.
Okay, so it doesn't upset the
upset, right? Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. No, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yes.
That makes sense, and it's and when we think about 17 and 23 and the blocking of those, I might be wrong, but I think about I learned about Chantix and how Chantix works on the nicotine receptors at one time. And it really just plugs those receptors,
yes,
so that the disease can't get through. Is that right?
That's true. So I reported some cases who has this spondyloarthritis and cancer, and then we treat with IL-17 and 23 blockade, either before immunotherapy or after immunotherapy. Luckily, we treated well both the arthritis, mm-hmm, as well as the cancer.
Yeah, and it's are you doing research on that specifically?
Yes, I'm also, yeah, that is one of the area I'm interested in.
Okay, that's awesome. you get a twofer as well. Two for one. Okay, so biomarkers, this is a hot topic. What do we know about biomarkers that might predict for patients with SPA and complications?
This is the area of active research.
Great.
We don't know yet, honestly.
Okay.
So what we do know is that So the serum markers, serum level of IL-6, TNF-alpha, and also IL-17. So patient who has the higher level of these cytokines after immunotherapy, they are in the risk of developing these autoimmune complications. But in this case, like the patient who has both cancer and the spondyloarthritis who receiving the immunotherapy, whether they will their spondylo flare up or not, this is the area of the research. And we don't know yet.
Okay. Yeah. And the cytokines flying high is the overstimulated immune system.
That's right. Right? Okay. That's
right. I remember those from a few years ago. Okay, so when as patients move toward and move through a end to their cancer treatment and hopefully excellent outcomes, do arthritis symptoms that they've had usually resolve or do they become chronic?
So we have some study that we followed up who developed arthritis, newly developed arthritis after immunotherapy.
Okay.
We followed up to 24 months. Some of them 24 months, some of them 1 month. But what we do know is that 1/3 of the patients, they still have the arthritis even after 6 months after they discontinue the immunotherapy. So the pretty handful of the patients, those arthritis persist even after the immunotherapy discontinuation.
Is that more heavily leaning toward different genders?
That's a good question. No, it's not.
No,
it seems like a patient who had there's two types of the immunotherapy. Either the anti-CTLA-4 or anti-PD-1. Based on the cancer stage and the severity, patient and primary cancer, patient get either PD-1 alone, anti-PD-1 alone, or anti-PD-1 plus anti-CTLA-4. Patient who get this both immunotherapy, anti-PD-1 and anti-CTLA-4, their arthritis persists longer.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So it's really focused on the type of therapy opposed to any other variable.
So the stronger immunotherapy then make the persistent arthritis more persistent.
Okay. What does the current evidence say when patients have a history of cancer and they need to start biologic therapy post immunotherapy?
So the patient who indicated for the biologics. So there's no answers, but what I do discuss is that TNF inhibitor is if patient has some hematologic malignancies or non-melanomatous skin cancers, I avoid to use the TNF inhibitor. Another one is that those patients should get some update to their cancer screening, also establish the oncologic care.
Okay. So it's a case by case.
Case by case, yeah.
It's really like individualized. Okay.
That's right. I also advise them there is always the risk of the cancer recurrence because all our treatment in theory suppress our immune system.
Right. Okay. So before we're nearing the end, but I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I was very interested to see your earlier work on the CD4 plus T cells in mm-hmm. human tonsils.
Oh,
what does that mean? Because is this an idea of some of our cells, like we think they belong in one place and they're kind of on the move? And
the human tonsil is we call secondary lymphoid organ. So that's where the all the immune responses happen. So using the pediatric tonsillectomy samples, which means that those kids exposed to the bacteria or virus heavily, then CD4 T cells, they help B cells to produce antibodies. So for the first time, we describe those specific helper T cells in the tonsil that drive the B cells to produce the antibodies.
Oh, interesting. So your tonsils are sort of your...
Inflamed.
When they're inflamed, that's the beginning of like an immune response.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Uh-huh. I thought that was so interesting.
There was some application of the studies that we get to know more about the lupus flare-up, autoimmune flare-up, or some vaccine responses.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have two questions left for you. First is... we're going to talk about a little bit about research. What other areas of new research and things that you're working on are going to help us understand the connection between things like spondyloarthritis, cancer, and immunotherapies?
Yes. Yeah. So I think this is the area of the kind of rapidly developing and clinically unmet need. So because the cancer immunotherapy is being widely used, so we will see more tough situation like this. Yeah. So either basic research and translational as well as clinical research really necessary. For the basic research, we need the good mouse model, which is this mouse recapitulating the human situation, so has the spondyloarthritis as well as the bearing tumor. So using that mouse model, we can treat with the cancer immunotherapy and check which medicine for the spondyloarthritis is safe for the anti-tumor efficacy, and also the further mechanisms how tumor and autoimmune interact each other. So we need those basic research. Not only that, we need some translational research using the longitudinal sample collections, so get the blood and the joint fluid when the arthritis flared up, before the immunotherapy, after immunotherapy, and after the spondyloarthritis flare, and after the treatment of the arthritis flare-ups, along with those clinical informations.
Awesome. Okay. Last question. Not on the plan. Mm-hmm. If you have one thing that you think we should be most hopeful about in this area, what is it?
Oh, so the most awful area is that this area or the what is the cancer?
Yeah, I think the intersection of cancer and autoimmune disease, and probably cancer, cancer the most, I think, in this case. No offense to our listeners. Don't have it.
So the best area is that to achieve is that find the biomarkers. So who will be eligible for the immunotherapy? Mm-hmm. Also setting up the most ideal the treatment strategies for the autoimmune diseases in this situation, so that they can complete their immunotherapy without any autoimmune flare or other autoimmune side effects.
Yeah, that's amazing. That would be amazing, right?
Right.
You knew into it, it was a much more comfortable.
So the goal is to target both, basically. So
yeah.
Treat the autoimmune as well as eradicate the cancers.
Yeah. Okay. I have one more question I'm going to ask you. So in your work, because of the complexity of it, do you use AI to help distill the information yet?
So far, none yet, but we are now working on with other the institute. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have some consortiums, and we are now thinking of that, applying the AI technologies.
Yeah, I would think like, and these are so complex.
Yes.
And there's so many variables that you could use like agentic AI to
exactly
really start to give a confidence of like what's going to happen. And
Exactly. I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much. This has been super helpful. And we hope in your journey, as you and your colleagues are submitting research proposals, you remember that SAA is a research granting organization for spondyloarthritis research. So don't hesitate to get in touch if you have something. But yeah, I'm really grateful. This has been an interesting topic and something that I think most of us probably don't think about too much unless we have to, and really don't want to, but it's a reality of the patient. Yeah. The patient.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Also, I would like to emphasize that we will see more and more.
More. Yeah, I think so too.
Right.
Yeah.
Cancer, incidence of cancer is also increasing. Also, the application of this immunotherapy also increasing. So we will see more and more.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate you and the work you do.
Oh, sure. Thank you very much.
SpondyCast was made possible by donations from the Spondylitis Association of America's individual members and our show's corporate sponsor, AbbVie. Since our founding in 1983, the Spondylitis Association of America has been the face, voice, and leading nationwide nonprofit educating, empowering, and advocating for people living with spondyloarthritis. Through our extensive work with patients, the medical community, and partners, we provide information and resources to help people impacted by the disease live better lives and champion research to find a cure.